This is the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald, where we exist to move church forward and have the conversations that every team needs to be having.
Well, Team Church, welcome back to the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald. My name is Brandon Stewart, and I'm going to be your host today. We have designed this space to have the conversations that every team needs to be having. So our goal today, as always, is to set up a vital, necessary conversation that you can continue with your team. And today, we're continuing a conversation we began last month on honoring authority, a subject that we believe is so potent, so necessary for this hour, this season in the local church. We just thought we'd keep it going. And so Coach K, Pastor Kevin, of course, is back for this conversation. I'm so excited to keep this one going today, PK.
Yeah, I am too, Brandon. And we announced last in our last episode that we were going to have some other people joining us today. And I think that's the most exciting thing for me is that we have a chance to hear from some young leaders today on the topic that we've been talking about.
Absolutely. We've put together a few great young leaders from different corners of the Team Church tribe, and they represent different parts of the millennial Gen Z generations. And we're just excited to have a conversation and hear from young leaders from a perspective of their generation and tensions they're experiencing around this subject of honoring authority. So let's get some introductions going if we can. I'm going to go to Jeff first. Why don't you say hey to everybody? Jeff, tell us who you are.
How's it going, everybody? My name is Jeff Cope. I am from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I'm the executive pastor at the Cause Church. And thank you guys so much for just having us on here. It's such an awesome opportunity.
We're so glad you're here. We love your church and your team has been part of our conference for years. So glad you're on here today. Let's see. I'm going to go to Lays now. Take us to Florida. Lays, say hi to everybody.
Hey, everyone. My name is Leidanis Ritchie, and I am from Coast Life Church down in Florida. I have the honor of serving as the executive administrative assistant there to our amazing pastors. And thank you guys for the opportunity to be on here today.
It's going to be good. We love your church. And so glad you're here. Let's go to Canada. Shane Frazier, say what's up to everybody.
Love it. I'm representing Canada today. That's a big honor in itself. Thank you guys so much for having me. My name is Shane Frazier. I work as a youth pastor in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, completely on the other side of the coast of Seattle. It's my honor and privilege to be here today.
Awesome. So glad you're here. Last but not least, the man, the myth, Cole Martinez. Say hey to everybody.
My name is Cole Martinez. I am serving on the Next Gen Ministry team at Christian Life Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I'm just very happy and excited and grateful for this opportunity.
Okay, guys, so here's the deal. We're going to get real. We're going to get raw. We're going to ask the questions that need to be asked, because if you have the questions, no doubt somebody else listening does today. But to get us into the ballpark and take us in, PK, I'm going to lob out the first question. And as we talked about last month and continuing today, I just really believe that our culture at large has seen a decay when it comes to the subject of authority and honoring authority. It's also sadly making its way into elements of the local church and leadership in the local church. I guess, get us started on your own observations and what you've seen kind of just on the cultural drift and decay around this subject.
Well, Brandon, I think it's important that when we talk about it, we just realize how essential honor really is in any kind of group that wants to make progress, wants to do well, wants to be healthy. So it's really not optional. Although culture tries to battle with it, you know, to me, it's like saying we're just determined to tell the world none of us really need to ever go to sleep. We just stay awake all the time. It's like it's a losing battle to try to go against the necessity of honor. So everything's better with honor. And unless you have honor, you're not going to have just even a good sports team. So you're not going to have a team that is together, a team that is successful, a team that is going to be able to win games if you don't have a culture of honor within the team where players honor one another and they honor their coaches, they honor their leaders. Coach says, do this, we do it. So if it starts with a team, you can imagine how it plays out in a family, how it plays out in a business, how it plays out in a church. So to me, there's a lot of idealism having to do with whether we need honor, don't need honor, that I think is such it's a myth to think that we can have a good life or a good community without honor.
And I think that something that you've said over the years that's impacted me on this subject, PK, is that this is an area where the church cannot afford to be trendy. This is an area where we have to decide that we're going to be counterculture. And I think that's why we wanted to invite our panel on today, was we want to hear from young leaders and the very real and escalating tensions that young leaders are experiencing and try to offer a different perspective and a different point of view on that. And so with that, I'm actually going to just start opening up for some questions here today. And I want you guys to help me pull some gold out of PK, but also some of you have some perspective and stories to share. We really want to hear from today. We are going to go to Canada first to my friend Shane. You had a great question, I think, to get us started today.
Yeah, that's awesome, guys. And again, love this conversation. And I listened to the first podcast and it was wonderful. I was able to take down some notes. And one of the questions that I had myself is, I'm going on 22 now, so I'm young. I don't have a lot of years under my belt. I'm always learning, and I would be a part of Gen Z. And for myself, I'm often aware that I might process or react to things differently than someone from an older chair leadership like yourself, Pastor Kevin. I'm sure you're still very young. But saying that, I feel like I could possibly foster a reaction or a reality where my actions aren't necessarily perceived how I intended them to, just because I'm from that younger chair of leadership. But my question is, what is a mistake a young leader may make to unintentionally or indirectly dishonor authority?
That's so good. And I really appreciate you acknowledging it, because that's the first step. It's just acknowledging that you don't know what you don't know. But I would say that the biggest thing I would encourage a young leader to do is to assume that anytime you're in a room with someone who has experience you don't have, who has maybe age that you don't have, someone who is beyond where you are in whatever kind of group that you're in, we're talking about the church right now, just to assume that you know less and to assume that they know more, and then to treat them that way, beginning with just your face, beginning with acknowledging and smiling and showing honor and courtesy on your face that says, you know, I honor you. Even whether you shake hands with them or not, I think it really starts there. Just the assumption that I'm in the presence of someone who I can learn from, someone who maybe has something there that I don't have. And they don't even have to be a great speaker, or they don't even have to be a pastor. I just think it's a great thing to do when you're young, to just walk into every room with this idea and this attitude that God's going to continue to teach me and show me things. And the primary way that God leads me and primary way that I learn is through other people. So today I'm here and I'm here to learn what I need to learn. And so I'm gonna engage in a way that's honoring and respectful.
That's so good. And honestly, like, your words speak 100% truth to me, because I find for myself, being so young, I have a lot of unfiltered ambition. So I have a lot of thoughts, ideas, and things like that, that the unfiltered part of it is that I don't necessarily have the wisdom to put it into place or put it into play. But even something cool that I was thinking of as you were speaking was recently, and I say recently, but it honestly wasn't that recently, because COVID's been going on for a while. But just as we were coming out of the first part of that lockdown, I remember as our church was just opening up for the first time that I had this idea, and I work with the youth. I love working with the youth. And I'm like, I can't wait to gung-ho youth in person. So I came up with a plan, a way to put it into action. And I remember stepping into a staff meeting and actually, just like you said, someone who had a little bit of more wisdom or a little bit more years on me was actually like, Shane, kind of hold off, just wait on that. Like there might be a better time for that. And I remember walking out of that meeting, just almost feeling like disappointment and feeling this tension behind, like, I got to fight this. Like, I got to be right. And I think in that moment, I kind of just got this like idea of heroism, that especially as like a young, fresh leader, that if my idea goes, that I win. But something that I'm learning and discovering is that it's not actually if your idea goes that you win. It's when the wisest idea goes, the whole team wins. Kind of like that kind of thing.
Wow, that is so good. Because what you've just given us is a practical way that this stuff works out in our everyday life. Like what you've just described is, I think, something that every church leader, especially young church leader, faces and deals with. Let me ask you this. When you felt that, like, you probably remember where you were in that moment and you described it really well, but could you elaborate a little bit on what you did or how you handled that sense of, you know, I'm going to be a hero in this kind of thing versus immediate alignment?
Well, to be completely honest, I remember coming out of the meeting and going to another younger leader. So that's 100% the best place to go at that time. No. But I went to another young leader and I was kind of just expressing the fact, like, you think I'm right too, right? Like, you think it's time, when in reality, it's like, thankfully that person didn't validate me. And they're like, no, Shane, like, this is actually the right move. And funny enough that we actually ended up just waiting a month and the idea was gung-ho, like the idea was good, but it just needed the time. But I do remember walking out of there trying to wrestle with the tension and kind of going to the wrong places for that.
That's so good. It what your friend did or that other person did for you was actually a great gift, because they didn't validate the way you felt. And if the opposite thing happened, it would have even fired your engine up a little bit more for maybe a worse crash or conflict to occur. And, you know, it's not the end of the world when that happens, by the way. It's not the end of the world when we hit conflict like that. And especially with a mature, gracious leader, they know. But to continue down a pathway is where it, you know, of thinking you know what you don't know. So again, I think honor just begins by assuming that you don't know it all, assuming there's some things to learn. Because I know right now in our church, I know a lot of things and I have a lot of information that our staff doesn't even have, that our location pastors don't have, having to do with people, having to do with navigating circumstances or situations. And I know a lot of times that, that they even would wonder, well, why are we, or why are we not doing that? And I just cannot always share every piece of information that I have with everyone. I need them to trust me. I need them to believe in me and go along with me. Now, on the opposite side, as recently as this morning, I gathered with what we call Pastors Council, which is a group of business leaders in our church that I actually asked them to give me input into some of the business or the corporate side of our church and our operation. So, you know, I have to be careful that I don't think I know it all, or I don't stop learning myself or inviting input. I really have to be careful of that myself. But, you know, if you stay open and you stay a learner, and then you lead from the perspective of what you do know, to expect other people who are maybe younger than you or less experienced than you and so forth to come along, follow you, is an appropriate expectation. So that was great.
Love it, Shane. We have all been the ambitious 22-year-old in the meeting. I feel that one. Hey, I want to go next to Lays. You had a great question on just helping us getting our thinking right and the voices in our world. Why don't you throw that one out?
Absolutely. Like you said in the last month's podcast, that today's culture is trending against authority. It's so common for us to put our own thoughts, ideas, opinions, and even experiences over those that are in authority. Like, it's so easy to find a tweet that just aligns with our emotion or feeds into the offense that we're feeling. And we actually start to disregard the voices of leadership that are in our lives. It's almost as if we're turning to dishonor in order to get justification. So my question is, how can we help leaders differentiate between the voices of the world to find the right one so that they can ultimately submit under authority?
Well, I think for me, what I've tried to do, for example, in the last 12 to 15 months, is I've tried to be very open with my own journey through the media information that's been given to me and through the people that I might be following or I might look at their page. And I've talked to the people around me and my circle of our church and our lead team. I've talked to them about how, you know, things are hitting me and how things are affecting me. And I've shared with those that I really trust their, you know, their mindfulness, their attitude. I've shared with them some stuff that hit me wrong and things that I'm struggling with, even from other church leaders, and church leaders were saying and doing. I don't think you can actually discern all the time on your own what is the right thing. I think you really have to reach out. But something Shane said a while ago that I think was really, really great. I could tell he knew in hindsight that someone his age or whatever wasn't probably the right place to go as a first, you know, for first input. Although that he got great response and guidance. Typically, if you go someone at the same level you are of experience and insight and age, you're probably not going to get the wisdom that you really want to get. So I think when you're trying to discern between the wrong voices and the right voices, whether it's on social media or even potentially friendship and people that you're hanging out with, it's always best to look and to go to people that you have had experience with their wisdom. You have seen it firsthand. You know that they have some sort of insight that you may not have. Bounce stuff off of them, listen to what they have to say, so that, and I think honor, by the way, if you talk to someone who's raised on the streets versus someone who's been to a military academy, you're going to get a whole different perspective on honor. And so it's be discerning enough that you realize who you're talking to and that they may have a shallow well or a deep well on that topic. And what you want is the deeper well that you can draw out of.
That's so good. And you make such a good point, because I was thinking back to the past season of so much divisiveness, and being planted ultimately is what made the difference. Because I learned early on that the internet wasn't my pastor. So I was aligned with my pastor's vision, which helped me not stray when things would pop up or there was all this controversy that was going on. So I think one of the biggest benefits that I had in this season was submitting under authority, because it was able to keep me aligned and it kept me rooted where I felt like we were constantly being tugged.
So let me ask you how you do that in terms of, you have a young person who's maybe watching today or listening today, and they are, you know, they think this other voice is really a cool person. They're maybe a church person themselves, and they're taking in everything out of that person's perspective. And they listen to you say, well, I learned that my pastor's voice is the one I'm really following. How did you get there? Like, how did you get to the point where you turn the volume down on one voice that maybe you think is attractive or you're drawn to really focus in on your pastor? How did you legitimize that?
Before I was serving as Pastor Jason and Heidi's executive assistant, I had the opportunity to serve as our guest director. So I was up front and center. And I remember when Pastor Jason had asked me to serve as the executive assistant, the voices of the world were so loud in my mind. It was like, you're an assistant. That's all you're going to do. You're just going to be an assistant. And I remember having to turn it down because I knew that there was going to be so much more opportunity. And I tuned it out. And God honors honor, because by serving my pastor, I've been put in so many places where I would have never had the opportunity to learn from people. I've been given opportunities to grow. And it was just being aligned with the right voice. And it was tuning down what the world was saying, what negative Nancy was saying, and just really aligning with what the word of God says. And it's to serve, it's to honor. And ultimately, what I've learned, it's been because of that, because of being his assistant, because I learn every day from him. I get put in conversations like this where I'm here to learn.
Wow. That is so good. That just the, what you said about alignment, do you guys find, and this would be open to anybody, do you guys find that it's often difficult to just close out the chatter? And do any of you have something you do with social media to keep it, you know, to keep it reined in that you might would share with us today?
I hit the unfollow button.
You hit the unfollow button a lot?
Unfollow button.
I can chime in and just like with something really, really practical that I've done lately. But the blessing behind an iPhone is you can actually put like screen time on things. So recently, just via social media can be such a loud voice. I really, really limited my screen time just across all the things. So any part of me that actually wants like use social media basically outside of work purposes, it's really not able to have that access.
So you actually just shut it down outside of work. You don't mess around with social media. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I give it a good shot.
Good for you.
That's why Shane never responds to my messages, I guess. PK, I'll chime in on that one too. I think one of the healthiest things Lindsay and I started doing a little over a year ago, I think, was we just turned off all notifications on social media apps on our phone. So if we want to go to Instagram, we have to go to Instagram. Instagram doesn't come to us, you know? And that it actually, the longer I get into it, the more I realize I can go hours without thinking about it. And it's just been so nice versus you guys know how it is, the continual drip of notifications. It's just constantly taking you back to that app.
You know, Brandon, I'm thinking right now we're in a Mind Monster series that I started last weekend at our church. And I'm thinking about that scripture in 2 Corinthians. I think it's 10 verse 5, I think, but it talks about the pretensions of the world, the arguments of the world. And, you know, we don't fight with the weapons that the world fights with, but we demolish strongholds and arguments and pretensions that come up against the knowledge of God. And so when we talk about social media, it might have felt like someone who's listening today that we took a big turn away from the topic of honor, but we actually didn't. There's always voices and arguments and things out there that are against and contrary to the knowledge of God, the way we're called to live our lives. And Scripture teaches us to rein that in. Scripture teaches us to have a disciplined life when it comes to what is called strongholds, which are basically entrenched negative thinking patterns. Any negative thinking pattern, it's that we demolish that, and we demolish arguments and pretensions, things that just people assume are in the world that, well, yeah, this is how you live your life. This is how you're supposed to think. Well, we actually don't agree with that. So we shut the door on a lot of stuff. And I think social media is probably one of the biggest invaders of the territory of the Christ-like mind that we have to deal with today, including and maybe even foremost in the area of honor right now. Because if you watch or listen to much social media, there is so much dishonor that is out there on social media.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. Absolutely. Hey, I want to go for a minute to our friend in Nashville, Cole Martinez. You had a great question you threw out to us right before we hit recording today, in fact. And I wanted to give you a chance to put that in the conversation today.
Yeah. You know, I'm a young leader myself. I'm only 18 and doing what I'm doing at the church, which I kind of look at that sometimes and I go, how exactly did I end up here? But I just know that it's been God's blessing with it. But kind of the one big thing I've noticed, especially with leading people, is that there's a lot of people that have come from bad authority backgrounds, whether that bad authority is bad church authority, or for some, I'm thinking of one person in particular, it's bad family authority, just bad father situation. And so with that, they've had this kind of distaste and distrust towards authority. And there's been times where I've had people on my team tell me either in the moment by their actions or later whenever they've kind of had a little bit of a reframing of it that they just didn't trust me as their leader. And I felt that constant tension. And so I guess to kind of form what I'm talking about in a question is, how do you go about earning trust with someone who's dealt with nothing but bad authority in their past? And kind of how do you work through that?
Well, I think it's a really slippery slope because you can't be subjected and always trying to someone's lack of trust and always trying to prove yourself as a leader to someone who's already got a cynical attitude towards leadership. And unless that changes on their part, there's no way you can win. There will be a sabotaging, even if they don't mean to. So it's a slippery slope, but it's an amazing question. It's a great question. And I would just say that I have tried to be humble enough to say, I understand you have a unique scenario, you have a unique situation. And I realize that you've been through some tough stuff, but also stay true to myself and what we know about alignment, in that I can't always be looking over my shoulder after we have a huddle, after we have a team meeting. And I can't look at any of the leadership team and wonder if they're really with me or not. And so I think that a conversation like that, I've had quite a few of them over the years, to where I have, just said one-on-one, hey, I get it. I understand. Now I want, you to understand where I'm coming from. So I seek to understand and then to be understood. And this is where I'm coming from, is that in this group, this team, when it comes to leaders and so forth, I really need people who do trust not only me, but one another. We have to trust one another, and we have to be for one another, and we have to not be, looking for one another to do something wrong, because that's a sabotage. We're all going to do things wrong. We're all going to make mistakes. But if you're welcome to be a part of the youth program, you're certainly welcome to attend things. Mm-hmm. We love you. I hope some of that thing that's in you can get healed and well, because you got a lot of potential in your life and a lot ahead of you. But at the end of the day, I think a conversation like that, Cole, is just it's absolutely necessary.
No, I that's absolutely correct. And I will say, what's cool about one of the specific examples that I'm thinking of is I had a similar conversation with that person about that, which kind of, I wouldn't say that conversation kickstarted a journey for them. I think I just kind of played into the journey that they were already going on. And to look back now and see that they're in a healed place about what was causing that, was really, really cool. And I don't feel that sort of weight or heaviness or tension as their leader anymore from them. I would say also kind of personally with that is, you mentioned like looking over your shoulder, kind of always subjective, feeling like you needed to earn people's trust. I kind of carried that just by myself too. Something that I've definitely struggled with a lot is kind of shame and not feeling like I am qualified for what I'm doing. And what didn't help was having people who kind of fed into that with not trusting me, but also there was a deeper heart issue for me. And so it was really neat to see that God kind of used that person to highlight the issue that I had in my heart. And it was a really cool kind of kickstarting moment for me to go on that healing journey of kind of uprooting that shame in my life. And now it's been really neat to see that I don't feel like I'm having to constantly keep score of myself of, okay, well, I need to earn not only this person's trust because they've never trusted authority, but I need to also earn my own trust because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not qualified for this. So it was really neat how that one moment of it could go so sour so quickly, but it turned into a healing moment for that person and a kind of uprooting and healing moment for myself of the same root core issue of not trusting.
Such a good perspective, Cole and Pastor Kevin. Thank you for that. To help us kind of land the plane on this conversation, I want to go to Jeff, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Yeah. Give us a great final question here. A tension you might be experiencing as a younger leader.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. And just this this subject of honor, it means so much to me and to my heart. Just with a little bit of my story and where I come from, I come kind of really jumping off of what Cole was talking about. I come from a culture and a lifestyle that honor was so counter what I grew up in. And I grew up when I was a teenager, I started using drugs. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 21 years old. But my life before that, I was a drug addict, addicted to everything, living on the street. I actually lived over in Tacoma for a long time as a teenager. Wow. And that was so counter. Honor and authority and all of those things were so counter what I grew up in and what I knew living in that type of environment. And so coming into the church, and I'm probably one of the oldies of the young leaders sitting here. I've been walking with Jesus for about 12 years now. One of the things that God has been working in my life has been this place of really trusting, really allowing somebody to take that position in my life because I have been hurt by a lot of people and went through a lot of those things. And so I guess a question for you, Pastor Kevin, would be kind of that with culture. And I feel like the culture that we're living in is so geared towards dishonor, so geared, whether it's in the church, whether it's politically, whether it's, in the world that we're living in, I'm thinking of, like this kind of toxic culture. Let's say somebody was in a leadership position, but they might be in like a toxic church culture environment. I'm thinking of like Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, like this person that he showed such an amazing place of honor to somebody that probably didn't deserve it. Somebody that was living, so far away from God and doing these different things. What would you say to a leader that was in a toxic church environment and how to show honor when maybe honor isn't really due? Maybe it's not something that, that would be looked at.
First of all, I really love hearing your story, a little bit about you. And Man, living on the streets of Tacoma, that's a rough place to live. On the streets. That's where for those of you who may not know, that's where our central location, our central campus is. And to know that you were in that lifestyle and that you didn't have honor in your upbringing and so forth, I just tip my hat to you because so many people, as you know, they stay entrenched in what they, you know, what they learned to be right, and they fight against it. They oppose the truth, but the truth is what sets you free. And so the fact that you're where you are, I salute you for that. As with people that your question about people in, you know, in different settings where I think you're saying agreement or disagreement, would that be correct? Am I getting your question right again?
Yeah, I think just somebody that maybe it is a little bit of a toxic like leadership, and maybe there are, because I just think of the world that we're living in today. And again, whether it's a, you know, government leader or a church leader or whatever, you know, what would you say our best way of showing honor, you know, when you might not align with everything that they're saying? And it might not just be that it's not alignment. It might be that they're coming from, you know, that it is a toxic leadership.
Very good. And this is common, by the way. And I hope everyone listening today knows that we're aware of that, that some of you are working with people where there's, you know, there's things that about their own life and their own past that is affecting the way they lead or affecting the way they engage and interact with other people. They're struggling themselves, and, you know, powerful insecurities. And so they can be really blunt. They can be, you know, they can cut you off in conversations. They can be way too bossy. They can just handle themselves in ways that are not easy to follow, easy to work with. It can be my way or the highway. They can be people that never ask for input. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, results of what I think you're describing when you say a toxic sort of individual who then creates a toxic environment. How do we handle that when we're in that situation? The best example for all of us is David's life as he was, and there's a book, a great book. If you've never read it, please find it, get it. The Tale of Three Kings. And it will revolutionize the way you think in terms of honor and respect and some of the things that we're talking about right now. I just look at David a lot, and I still look at him, but I looked at him a lot when I was younger, and I just admired the way he went, you know, when Saul was sleeping and Saul's trying to kill him, and he got close enough to take his life, and he had all the leaders of Israel, basically the warriors were behind him. And in terms of, you're our next leader, we need a good king, not King Saul. He's a toxic guy. He's got issues. David couldn't take his life and he couldn't do it. And when they asked him later on, he got back into the group and, you know, made his way out of that camp. He had a little bit of the garment of Saul with him, and they're like, "Why do you mean you didn't take it? You didn't take the opportunity you had, like, to end this craziness with this bizarre man, this crazy man, crazy leader?" And he's like, "I couldn't touch the Lord's anointed." And that's just, I mean, that's his answer. So his heart was so good that even when he was being treated bad, he was still in a position of restricting himself from throwing a javelin, pulling a sword, doing harm, shedding blood. He did not have it in him to do that to the man who was the king of Israel. As a young leader, I read that, I thought it through in many occasions in my life, and just really prayed, "God, help me." David, in that way, really stood out to me as a Bible character, because I thought, how do you do that? Like, what does it take, like, to have that kind of courage and discipline and restrict yourself like that? But then I want to go on and say, as time went on, I moved into another part of that. And that was, God, don't let me, now that I am a king, don't let me be Saul. I don't want to be a Saul. God, help me to not treat anyone like Saul treated David. God, help me to see the Davids and help me to see the people that you're bringing up around me. So I think in our evolution as a leader, that there's these seasons we go through. And I think if you, like David, when he passed through the gate of honor to Saul, is literally when God said, you're my next king. He got his promotion because God saw his heart to honor the current king. It's like God's like, you know, I'll take care of the kings in your life. What I'm looking for is someone who has a heart that is able to show honor to their leaders and their authorities. And when I find those people, I use them. When I find those people, I promote them. When I find those people, it says something about their character that I want to promote them. I want to give them authority, power, leadership, and so forth. So there's so many good angles on that story. But those are three of them that I feel like when there's a toxic scenario going on, look at those three things. Current leaders who have a lot of leadership, if you're listening today, please listen, please hear me when I say never stop examining yourself. Never stop saying, I'm sorry. When you make a mistake and you treat someone wrongly, even if you don't know that you treated them, you know, that what you did or said was actually bad, if it had any level of, you know, of hurt or any level of pain that you dealt them, don't be too big to say, I am sorry that I hurt you. I am sorry that it impacted your life that way. And that'll keep your heart pure and make sure you don't turn into a Saul. If you're a younger leader, take notes from David, how he looked up to Saul, and then just know that God's looking out for you. He's got you. You stay in a space of honor, even in a toxic situation, and God will do great things in your life.
Come on. Come on. That's so good. Yeah. Thank you so much. Tale of Three Kings was that book so impacted my life when I read it. And I was even thinking too, as I speak through this, I'm in this blessed position where the leaders I serve under are so amazing and so, you know, impacting my life. But I just thought it was an interesting thought for somebody that might be in that situation, somebody that might be in that, you know, place of kind of turmoil and tension. So thank you so much.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people right now that are in some scenario like that in some way, shape or form, whether it's a person that is just above them, maybe on the authority chain, or whether it's their lead pastors. There's a lot of imperfections in humanity. And so the more graceful we become in just knowing that, and don't over spiritualize it, don't assume that people who are in a role, who love Jesus and they're in a role and they have a title, don't assume that people don't have issues, because they do. And a lot of times these are the issues. And so anyway, great question. Appreciate you asking that today.
Yeah. And I want to thank everybody for a great conversation today. I've really enjoyed this. And I'm going to head toward the last question here for you, PK. And I think the reason that we wanted to do this conversation is not just for the great, young, brilliant minds that we have on here with us today. But PK, you know, I say this to you all the time. We need wisdom from the fathers of the faith right now in this hour. And I count you as one. And I know I speak on behalf of the rest of our panel and everyone listening today. We just need fatherly wisdom to anchor us in this season. So maybe you could end this episode today by speaking directly to younger leaders that are listening today. If they were to remember one thing from you on this topic of honoring authority, like what's the one handle you would want them to walk away with this conversation with?
Well, I would want them to walk away with the little verbiage or the quote that I started using years ago, and it seems to have stickability, and that is honor up, honor down, and honor all around. That's the one thing I would want from everyone listening today, is to not see this conversation as saying that you should, if you're under authority, only honor up, because we're not saying that. We're saying also be big enough to honor down. Remember, you're a servant of people. And that gets confusing, Brandon, a lot of times, because I know myself in leading, we have to make some tough decisions sometimes. We have to decide things that, that hurt people sometimes. We need to move a team person around. We need to move somebody from right field to left field. We need to get somebody actually out of the dugout or off of, and I'm using baseball terms right now, but you know, we have to make some, and but someone has to be the coach. Someone has to be the manager. And so when you do those things, those are hard decisions that you didn't know are not easy for the person that you're making the decision about. And we have to make them. So I think saying honor down, I just want to clarify, that doesn't mean pleasing everyone. It doesn't mean pleasing people and letting, you know, giving up your role as a leader. But it does mean in the process of doing whatever you need to do, remember that people are human and people hurt and people have struggles, and remember to go the extra mile to honor them and provide dignity to them as an individual. And honoring all around is how we honor as a team. We just honor everybody around us. We honor the people that walk through our doors of church. We honor the people who serve and don't serve. We honor the people who give and don't give. We honor the people that we're close to and not close to. We honor the people that say yes and the people who don't say yes. We just honor, honor, honor. We honor all around. We honor away from the church. We honor in the community. We honor in the city. We honor the young. We honor the older. We honor people who are naive, and we honor people who are filled with wisdom. Don't ever stop displaying and making it your goal that I'm going to be a person who will live a life of honor. I'm not always going to get it right, but my goal is honor up, honor down, honor all around.
It's beautiful, and probably the very thing that'll help us as believers stand out in the world today. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, for some great wisdom today. Thank you to each of our guests for being on here today. And hey, however you are listening to this today, watching this today, we pray this has been helpful. I dare you to sit down with your team coming up and have this conversation with them. I believe it'll help you. We believe it'll move you forward. And also feel free to hit the subscribe button. However you're watching this today, listening to this today, plan to make us a part of your team's monthly routine the first Tuesday of every month. It would be our honor to have a voice into your space. Team Church, we love you. We're standing with you in this season. We're building God's church with you in this season. We pray that you are well, healthy, strong. Keep going. Keep building God's church. We'll see you next month. God bless you.
This has been the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald. For more information on conferences and events, check out teamchurchconference.com.